Today's activity doesn't take all that long, which is kind of nice. But you're playing with fire today. So as soon as I shut up, you need to put goggles on and keep them over your eyes. And also really be careful about your hair, because sometimes you can't even tell, you can't even see the flame, but it'll burn your hair whether it's visible or not. So be careful leaning over. We're doing a technique today called calorimetry, which, as the metry ending indicates, is measurement of something. It's measurement of energy. Kalor means heat, which is a form of energy. Calorimetry can be done in various ways, but you're going to use a very crude technique, which means you're going to have huge errors, but I'll explain how you can minimize those errors in a minute. Calorimetry is the measurement of energy in a sample. It doesn't necessarily have to do with food, just as calories don't necessarily have anything to do with food. A calorie is a unit of energy, whether it's food or not. And most of your samples that you use today are food. The sticks aren't. You could eat the sticks, but you're not going to get any nutritive energy from those because you can't digest them, right? But that doesn't mean the stick doesn't have energy in it. It's going to burn. So the sample can be anything, a ground up squirrel or whatever. Whatever you want to measure the energy content of is what is used in calorimetry. Well, I mean, sometimes you do that. If you want to know what the whole animal energy content is, you grind up the animal and perform calorimetry on it. But this brings me to this unit of called the calorie. This is an embarrassingly stupid episode in science, because there's all kinds of units of energy, of course, right? Like ergs and joules. Calorie is just another one. British thermal units, there's all kinds of units. But there are two units that are behind this embarrassment, one of which is the calorie, and the other is the calorie. And that's the stupidity of it, because one of them that I pronounced is spelled calorie. The other one is spelled calorie. Exactly the same, except with a capital C instead of a lowercase c. And that was a terrible idea, to think that those should be considered separate units, but they are. The calorie with the lowercase c, just to make sure you know which one I'm talking about, I'll call the scientific calorie. Calorie with an uppercase C is actually 1,000 scientific calories. That's what the capital C indicates. So in other words, a calorie with capital C is a kilocalorie. Capital C calorie, though, is what we often call food calories. Like I said earlier, food doesn't have to be involved. Food, a calorie is not something that is in food. A calorie is simply a unit of energy in whatever. But we call them food calories sometimes, because uppercase C calories are the calories that you used to find on food labels. Thankfully, they realized how ridiculous this whole thing is, and now more modern labels are starting to use kilocalories instead of uppercase C calories. But anyway, most food labels will say that a typical adult male requires about 2,000 calories per day. That's uppercase C calories. So that means a typical daily energy requirement is 2,000 kilocalories, which means 2 million calories. Well, what is a calorie, though? I say it's a unit, but how is it defined? Well, it's based on water. A calorie, a scientific calorie, lowercase c, is the amount of energy required to raise the temperature of exactly 1 gram of pure water by exactly 1 Kelvin or 1 centigrade degree, however you want to think of it. They're the same size. Okay? The amount of energy required to heat up exactly 1 gram of water by exactly 1 degree Celsius. That's 1 calorie.
So the amount of energy to heat up?
To raise the temperature, yes, by 1 degree. Now, if you think of what I just said for a daily energy requirement for an adult male, 2,000 calories, that's 2 million calories, really, 2,000 kilocalories. That means just by living for one day, each of us uses enough energy that could heat a gram of water up by 1 million degrees. Or you could think of it as the amount of energy capable of heating up 1 million grams of water by a degree. 1 million grams of water is a lot. Now, in terms of volume, how much water is 1 gram? Well, this is how liters got defined as well. A milliliter is the volume that is just enough to contain exactly 1 gram of pure water. What's another way of thinking about a milliliter? How big is a milliliter? What's another name for it?
Milligram?
No, that's mass. Milliliter is volume. But a milliliter is also known as a cubic centimeter or a cc, because a milliliter in size is 1 centimeter by 1 centimeter by 1 centimeter as a cube. If you fill that exact space up with pure water, it's 1 gram of water filling that up. Well, if you have 1,000 of those little cubes, 1,000 milliliters, that's 1 liter. Right? You know how big a liter is from water bottles. 1,000 of those is 1 million milliliters, right? So 2,000 liters would be the amount of water that our body's energy heats up by 1 degree, in just in one day's worth of energy expenditure. Now, thinking about how hard it is to heat up water, that is a lot of energy just to idle, basically, for a day. But anyway, that's the definition of a calorie, and we're going to take advantage of that to measure the heat, the energy content of various samples, most of which are foods. I said before that this is a very crude technique. We're going to burn or combust the samples. They'll be on fire in tongs that you're holding. Once you get it going, you're going to hold that burning food or sample directly under a test tube filled with a known volume of water. A known volume, so you measure carefully the volume of the water, because the volume matters, right? Twice as much water is only going to heat up half as much in terms of change in temperature. So you have to carefully measure the volume. But anyway, you're going to have a known volume of water that you also know the beginning temperature of until it burns, until the burning is done, and then you get a final temperature. And based on the change in temperature and the volume of the water and the definition of a calorie, you can figure out how many calories it took to do that, and therefore how many calories were in the food is in form of chemical energy. Does that all make sense? That's very crude, though, because the chances that all of the energy released by burning the food is going to go into the water is zero. There's no chance that that's going to happen, right? For instance, you might hear it. It might crackle. That's some of the energy. You'll see it burning. That's some of the energy. By far, most of the energy that doesn't go into the water is just going to go into heating up the air around it. So you're only really capturing a little bit of the energy. That's why you're not going to get correct answers here, no matter how careful you are, because you're only capturing some of that energy in your measurement. A much more careful version of calorimetry is called bomb calorimetry, because it uses a chamber called a bomb, which is made of very thick stainless steel, so it won't explode, it won't burst, but you can unscrew it, put your sample in, seal it up, and it's fitted with electrodes that you can spark. But before you do that, you have your sample in there, you close it off, and you pump it full of several atmospheres worth of pure oxygen. In other words, there's plenty of oxygen so that the combustion reaction will go to completion. In other words, it will completely burn your sample. Nothing left over. And that's going to release a certain amount of energy. Well, the bomb, that would be worthless if you just had the bomb in the air. But the bomb in bomb calorimetry is completely submersed in water. Water that you know exactly the volume of to begin with. And you know exactly the beginning temperature of. When you do the explosion, all of that energy, since it's submerged, is going to go into the walls of the bomb first and then into the water. So whatever you measure as the change in temperature of the water, that had to have come from the food or from the sample. There's nowhere else for it to go. So bomb calorimetry is a much more accurate version of what you're doing. This will explain, though, why when you do your calculations, your calculations for what the calorie content per gram is of your samples is going to be much lower than what the labels say. Because the people making the labels are using bomb calorimetry to do it. It still, though, even crude as it is, will allow you to appreciate that different kinds of nutrients have different energy densities. And that's what really makes these samples different in their calorie content. Yeah?
So what's the role of the electrode?
Oh, you have to spark it so that, like putting a match to it. Exactly. Yeah, just mixing it with the oxygen is not enough. You have to have you have to get over that activation energy. All right, now, that's really the background I wanted to tell you. I just want to, even though there's no way you're going to get correct answers, like I said, you should still be as careful as possible in what you're doing to get good results. That requires a few things. One, on your setup here, you have ring stand set up. You have a clamp down here that will eventually house your test tube once for each trial. So you can open and close the clamp. That's going to hold the tube. But you might have to mess with this each time because you want your test tube to be on there in a position so that the thermometer is fully submersed. But also, importantly, the thermometer bulb is not touching any glass, the bottom or the sides of the tube. So play around with twisting it or whatever so it's not touching. That's one important thing. It doesn't take too much time. Another important thing, is weighing. Now, you're going to eventually compute calories per gram, but that doesn't mean you have to burn exactly 1 gram, right? You can burn any mass, any amount of mass, and then divide it by that to get per gram. The important thing is that you know exactly how many grams did burn. Well, in a combustion reaction, what did I say the fuel just turns into after it reacts with oxygen? These are all organic fuels. CO2 and what? And water. Water vapor. So those are going to be lost into the atmosphere, right, into the air. And anything that didn't burn will still be left over in solid, which you can weigh. In other words, you need to make two very careful mass measurements. You need to weigh it beforehand and after. And then for the final mass, you need to make sure you have everything that's left over that didn't burn. Well, some of them are going to drip, things will fall off. You have to collect all of that. So that's why you're using pieces of foil, a piece of foil for each tube that you test. And therefore, make sure before you do any burning that your piece of foil is down below so that anything that falls will fall onto the foil. Now, some of the stuff is going to stick to the foil, so you can't get it off of the foil, which means your final mass has to have the foil in it. The foil is not part of the process, though, right? You want to subtract that out. Normally, you might think that you would put the foil down and then zero the scale, which would be appropriate under certain circumstances, but not in this case. You want to make sure you zero the scale first with nothing on it, then put your foil down in your sample of food and get the combined mass of the sample and the foil. Then take that particular piece of foil, it has to be the same piece of foil, put it down, burn your sample, collect anything that hasn't burned, zero the scale again, and then get a final combined remaining sample and foil. Since that's the same piece of foil, when you subtract final from initial, you'll subtract all the foil out. And the only change will be due to the amount of food that got turned into CO2 and water. In other words, the amount of food that burned. And so that change in mass is the number of grams that you divide by to make your calculation of calories per gram. Does that all make sense? Does it to everyone? Okay, well, that's another important thing to do to get good results. Also, you want to use fresh water each time, not because of the freshness of the water. I mean room temperature water. You want to start with cooler water each time. You don't want to start your second sample with already hot water. And that's because of something I told you already about heating up water. If you have temperature versus time and you heat something up, heat the water up, it's of course going to go up in temperature, right? But only until it hits boiling point. And even though you're continuing to put energy into it, it's not going to change temperature when it gets to the boiling point. It's just going to convert more and more liquid to gas. So putting energy into it here, you are not going to be able to notice that. By making two different measurements, it's going to be no change in temperature. You want your measurements to be while it's changing in temperature, beginning and ending. And that's why the protocol tells you to blow it out if you have to, if the temperature gets close to boiling. I think it's at 80 degrees. If you get up to 80, this means you have to keep your eye on the thermometer the whole time it's burning, because some samples will burn better than others. If it gets to 80, blow it out. Like I said, it doesn't matter that you don't burn at all. You still are going to measure how much did burn. But you don't want to get to that boiling point, because then you can't tell what the actual temperature change was. Is that all clear? You should also not assume that all the water from the distilled water tanks is at the same temperature. Don't measure it once and use the same value. Measure it beforehand each time. And finally, realize that even if you blow something out, that doesn't mean that thermometer is going to stop moving instantaneously, right? It might go up a little bit more. Keep your eye on it, and when it stabilizes, that's your final temperature. All right, well, if there aren't questions, then just go ahead and do it. Put your goggles on first.